Yes, Lord. He is a good, good Father. Amen. Let's turn and get somebody a high five, low five, no five, some kind of five, 4 1/4. Oh, okay. Isn't God good? Yes. We're trying to fix this stage up here, so if I fall down, don't nobody laugh at me. There would nobody laugh, not one bit. I can tell you, y'all wouldn't laugh, would you? Yeah, it's like that time that guy at the prison told me, he called me Bugs Bunny. He said, you old Bugs Bunny teeth looking rascal. And I said, fellas, don't tell anybody, but the guy's calling me Bugs Bunny teeth. And so we go to Krispy Kreme afterwards. And I thought it was an end of the story. And all of a sudden around the corner come Frank, the good, good father, with two straws out of his mouth like Bugs Bunny. And he said, what's up, Doc? God's good. All the time. Praise the Lord. I was reminded that last night we were having an Emmaus event, and a little two-year-old was up doing praise and worship with us, and his name was Grayson, I think it was, and that means grace, and so it was really cool, and it reminded me of a story I heard about this little boy. He was sick, and they carried him, a little bitty toddler, and they carried him to the doctor. The doctor put the stethoscope to his chest and was listening and said, is that Barney I hear down there? The young boy spoke up and said, no, doctor, said that's Jesus. Jesus lives in my heart. Says, Barney's on my underwear. Get your Bibles out and turn to Luke 22. How many's ever told God, if you get me out of it this time, I'll never do it again? Am I the only one? Wow. God, if you get me out of it, I will never, ever do it again. Get your Bibles out, turn to Luke 22. I don't know what just happened, but something went crazy. Hold on here. Let's see. It just went crazy on me. As usual, it's always at church time when it goes crazy. Yeah, have you ever noticed you don't go to church time? I mean, when you're by yourself and you got nothing to do and you got plenty of time to have stuff mess up, there's no problems. But as sure as you get alone, I mean, get in church and you need it to be working right, then guess what? Now let's try. We'll try it again. Praise God. God is awesome. All the time. Okay, here we go. How many here's ever carried a load of guilt with you? How many's carrying a load of guilt with you now? We're going to talk about attitudes. Okay, my outlook. See, attitude has a lot more to do than just how you're acting that day. Your attitude's got a lot to do with on the inside of you. All right, and so we're gonna go through some different types of attitudes that we all experience, we all face. We all at times feel guilt. We all at times feel shame. We all at times feel fear. We all at times feel depression. All these are normal. All these can happen. When it becomes abnormal is when it begins to drive you. Okay? And we're even driven at times with it. So let's all get your Bibles out. Stand for the reading of the Word. Luke chapter 22. Praise God. I can't even talk. Thank you, Lord. That's why I said thank you, Lord. Luke 22, verse 31. They're in the upper room. These guys, Jesus is getting ready to be taken away, be arrested. He's going to be beat beyond a pulp, beyond being recognized. Jesus is getting ready to have some rough stuff done to him. He's going to face the cross. And his disciples, according to the Bible, they're arguing not about who's going to go with Jesus and help him. They're not arguing about, hey, can we find a way to bring some peace to our Savior before he has to face this trial? No, they are arguing about who is the greatest among them. Wow. The Bible says they're back and forth going, well, Jesus loves me more than he loves you. I was there when he raised the dead. I was back in there with Jairus' daughter. I was there here and there, and I was all these things. They're going back and forth about who is the greatest. And then Jesus says, this is an amazing thing. Jesus starts talking to them. And as he's talking to them, now here comes Peter, and he's always shooting off his mouth. How many know that? He always has his pride and joy to be able to shoot off his mouth. Anybody here knows how to shoot off your mouth? How many here has ever had that very deadly disease that's called constipation of the brain, diarrhea of the mouth? All right, well, that's what Simon Peter had. So watch this now. Now, this is part one. We're going to have two parts to this. Part one, Luke 22, verse 31. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon. He didn't say Peter, Peter. He said Simon, Simon. We're going to get into that in just a minute. I want you to notice that. He says, Simon, Simon. Y'all say Simon with me. Behold, Satan has desired to have you. Let me just stop there for a minute. Satan is wanting to get his hands on Simon, who knows how to run his mouth. But he can't touch Simon without God's permission. And he doesn't just want Simon. He wants, when he says he's desired to have you, it means he's asked for ownership. Whoa. He don't just want to put his arm around Simon and say, hey, dude, we got this. He wants to own him. And so he says that once he owns you, he's going to sift you like wheat. Now, these guys know exactly what's going on. These guys know what's happening. These guys know what is the process that he's talking about. And then he looks at Simon, but he says, but I've prayed for you that your faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. And he said unto him, here's Simon putting his foot, he had to have 13, right in his mouth. And he said unto him, I'm ready to go with thee both into prison and to death. And he said, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before thou hast three times denied that you know me. Wow. Somebody say, wow. Let's pray. Father, I love you. I praise your name. I thank you for your grace. I thank you for your mercy. I know, God, that you're alive and well and on the throne, God. I know, God, that you're making a way where there is no way. I know, God, that there's no God like you. Every other God is a God of sticks and stones. Every other God is a God made by man's hands. But you are the one that holds us in your hands. You are the one that created us, the heavens and the earth. I ask you right now, Lord, to touch us, Lord, to see and to know and understand, Lord, that although we have blown it many times, that you're there to lift us up and to strengthen us. And not only to bring us back to where we were, but to bring us back better. And I thank you for that, Lord. In the name of Jesus, we love you. We praise your name. And the church said, again, get somebody a high five and say, the past is behind us. The future is ahead of us. God is with us. And nothing shall be impossible. Praise the Lamb of God. God's good, isn't he? All right, so now we're going to talk about the attitude of guilt. You say, an attitude of guilt? I thought an attitude was something snotty that you had. Well, do you feel anything but snotty when you feel guilty? Amen? So let's watch this now. Now, attitude itself. Let's think about attitude. An attitude provides perspective. It's how you see things. Did you know that? That's why I say we're going to talk about over the next few weeks, talk about how we see things. We're going to talk about guilt. We're going to talk about pride. We're going to talk about anger. We're going to talk about depression. How attitude gets within us and it becomes the sunglasses or the welding shield that we see everything else with. So your attitude is more important than you ever could imagine. I'm going to try to get you out of here by 3 o'clock. Amen. I'm not going to feel guilty if I don't. All right, ready? The power of your perspective. Watch this. Your perspective, your attitude, first it's a mirror. It's how we see ourselves. You know, there's people in here right now, you would be farther along on your job, farther along in your life with God, farther along in your own walk with Jesus Christ if you saw yourself different. You think, well, everybody's looking at me like I'm a grasshopper. What did the people say? We were grasshoppers in our eyes. Numbers 13. We were grasshoppers in our eyes, and we were grasshoppers in their eyes. So first, the children of Israel saw themselves as grasshoppers first, and then the giants saw them as grasshoppers. So it's a mirror. It's how we see ourselves as the lens. It's how we see others and how we see situations. If I'm feeling good and you come up here and talk junk to me, okay. You know, I was sitting there last night and Tony, the spiritual aid director, I mean, not the spiritual, but the community aid director gets up and he says, y'all are all invited, y'all come in. He says, tall ones, short ones. He looked over at me and said, even ugly ones. And I laughed and said, I resemble that remark. And then afterwards, the guy came up to me and says, I'm sure glad your self-esteem can handle that. I said, he weren't cutting me down. But if I was having a bad day and he said that, I may have said, well, you ain't the prettiest thing I've seen lately either. Okay? So it's how we see others, it's a lens. And it's also a map. It's how we choose our paths. If we're feeling good about ourselves and we're feeling okay, we believe we're a child of God and everything's going all right, then we're going to be fine. We're going to take the hard way, the powerful way. But if we're feeling kind of insufficient and feeling neglected, then we're going to take the slow way, the bad way, okay? And so also, not only is your perspective got power, but it's also got persuasion. Because first, it steers us. We just talked about it. It steers us. It also stations us. Our attitude can start us. Our attitude can hinder us. How many in here has ever been hindered by your attitude? If you don't want to admit it, somebody beside him point at him and say he's talking to you. Now we're going to have another attitude problem. And sometimes your attitude, stops you. Okay, so watch this. Now we're going to talk about this. Let's talk about the attitude of guilt right now. Guilt, what is guilt? You see, guilt is a feeling of regret, remorse, and shame. It can be real, or it can be false. Or it can actually be both, because it's objective, breaking the law, breaking the rule, that's objective, and subjective is actually, you just feel shame. Do you know there's people that ask your forgiveness, but because you keep bringing it up, they can't settle their own forgiveness in their own heart, and they walk around guilty because you won't let them off the hook. Oh, come on now. They ought to be shouting up and down, running. Somebody ought to be throwing babies up in the air right now. There's people that honestly could be feeling a whole lot better, but subjectively they're feeling shame because you won't let go of the objective that they did, and they've already asked you to forgive them, and you just keep bringing it up. It's like the man told his wife, said his wife kept bringing it up. He said, I thought you said you forgave and forgot. She said, I did. He said, well, you keep bringing it up. She says, I just want you to remember that I forgave and forgot. So again, here we go. Get ready. This, we'll go through it kind of fast because it is getting kind of late, and I got about 25 slides. All right, no, I don't. I got 12. All right. Now y'all started counting. Okay, this is 5. Yeah, I shouldn't have told you, should I? Just, I want you to remember something. Satan does not attack you, listen carefully, Satan does not attack you necessarily for where you're at. He attacks you for where you're going. Wow. He doesn't necessarily attack you from where you're at. That's why it keeps it going and going and going, because he attacks you not necessarily from where you're at, but from where you're going. So let's watch this. Let's watch this. It can be negative. Guilt can be negative. It can be positive. We're gonna do it quickly. Here's positive. Here's negative. Get ready. Y'all ready for the ride? Y'all remember Indiana Jones when he cut that bridge and the little and Buckshot or whatever his name was, Bluetooth Buckshot, whatever the little boy's name was, said, hold on, lady, we're going for a ride. Get ready, we're going for a ride. Watch this. First, a positive guilt comes from the Holy Spirit. Negative guilt comes from Satan. Listen carefully. Some of y'all will actually feel freedom before I get off this slide. All right? You will slide down and get back up. Ready? When it comes from the Holy Spirit, it's productive. It causes a change to take place in you, and you begin to feel better. But when it's Satan, it's counterproductive, and you feel like snot, warmed over, blown out of a nose and put back in and blown out of a nose again. That feels bad. All right. So watch this now. What? If the Holy Spirit's doing it, it leads to conviction. If the devil's doing it, it leads to condemnation. Again, one brings life, one brings death. One draws us closer to God, one separates us from God. Also, watch this now. If it's a positive guilt or helpful guilt, then it's going to promote your relationships. And if it is a negative guilt, it's going to damage your relationships. If it's positive, it's going to restore confidence in the person that's whatever they did. Positive guilt from God will restore confidence in them. But if it's Satan with a negative guilt, it will destroy confidence. One moves us forward and one keeps us stuck in the past. Keep replaying it over and over and over and over and over. Shoulda, coulda, woulda. Shoulda, coulda, woulda. Shoulda, coulda, woulda. Shoulda, coulda, woulda. Can I get a witness? Shoulda, coulda, woulda. Shoulda, coulda, woulda. Some of y'all saying, has he lost his mind? No, because you're singing that in your head right now. Shoulda, coulda, woulda. Shoulda, coulda, woulda. I can mention one situation. You go, shoulda, coulda, woulda. Shoulda, coulda, woulda. Heep, hop, shoulda, coulda, woulda. So watch this now. Here's our examples. One of our examples is Peter, and the other example is Judas. They both denied Jesus. They both that night were guilty as sin. They both caused rifts in the ministry. They both caused rifts in their family. They caused some bad, bad problems. So watch this now. Here's the difference. The Bible says, and we'll read it a little further down, that Peter went out and wept bitterly. When Jesus goes to him, and we're going to read that in a minute, he goes out and weeps bitterly. And so he repents to God for what he did. But the Bible says Judas and Matthew repented himself. There's a difference. The Bible says they both repented, but if you look it up in the Greek, Peter actually wept bitterly, meaning he repented before God. Judas repented himself means he felt sorry for himself. Wow. How many times could you get off the hook if you quit feeling sorry inside and just give it to God up? I'm not beating you up and I'm not beating you down because I've done this too. This is not let's just go ahead and beat somebody today. No. But many times we carry the guilt within us and we really never really give it to God. And because we never really give it to God, we keep it inside. And it's like how many's ever got a jumping bean? I say that was the most awesome thing. There's a little old bean, and you jump that jumping bean, and here it goes. And all you got to do is just kind of tap it, or sometimes it just starts jumping. But when you got that guilt in you, it's like that jumping bean. It's on the inside of you. You don't even know what's in there. But it's just beating you to death. It's like a pinball. Bam, 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 bam. Every time you try to get moving forward, bam, 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 bam. Every time you try to make a break for it, bam, 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 bam. It's important that we learn the difference in just feeling remorse for our sin, remorse for our problems, and give it to God and let Him take care of it. So here's the difference. Peter turned upward, Judas turned inward. Do you know a lot of times our problems come because guilt, anger, shame, depression, whatever, is turned inward. And so we're actually eating away at ourselves. Instead of growing and moving forward, we're staying back. Because how can we have done what we've done and still call ourselves a child of God? How can we do what we did and still be able to say, praise God? How can we have got stuck in that situation after we told God we would never do it again? And so we turn inward and say, you must be a bad, bad person. You must really be awful. So what happens is when you turn upward, it leads to restoration in life. It says in 2 Corinthians 7:10, godly sorrow worketh repentance. It didn't say it just goes, bing, there you are, it's over. Worketh repentance. Meaning, godly sorrow begins to work within you, and it may not take place right then. It may take days, it may take weeks, it may take hours, it may take moments, but it works. Repentance meaning it works a change in the way you handle yourself. So godly sorrow upward leads to restoration. But Judas, he is led to condemnation and death because he repented himself. He went out and hung himself. Wow. That's a powerful, powerful thing. So let's just watch here. I'm trying to hurry up. John chapter 21. Let me get my Bible. Where my Bible go? I just had it in my hand. Praise God. Get your Bible. Turn to John chapter 21. I remember in Bible college one time, my professor said, "Can you read out of the book of John for me?" And I said, "Sure, teacher. Well, is it Old Testament or New Testament?" And he said, "And you're preaching this week, right?" I said, "Yeah." John chapter 21. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise showed he himself. They were together, Simon Peter, and Thomas called Didymus, or twin, and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, James and John, and two other disciples. And Simon Peter said unto him, "I go fishing." And said, "Here we go also with him." He went forth and entered to a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. Does that kind of sound like last week? Nowhere, man. And I honestly didn't plan on these sermons being together like this. That's just the Holy Spirit. So Peter was a nowhere man. He gets for God, he's a somewhere man. Then he gets feeling guilt, and he's a nowhere man again. Some of y'all in here, nowhere man because of guilt. So now, when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. And Jesus said unto them, "Children, have you any meat?" And they answered, "No." Then he said unto them, "Cast your net on the right side of the ship, and you shall find." And they cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Therefore the disciple whom Jesus loved said unto Peter, "It is the Lord." John says, "Hey, this is God." Now when Simon Peter heard it, that it was God, he girded his father's coat about him, for he was naked. He must have been sunbathing up there on that boat. That hit me one day. We had some preachers come one day at a church that was very legalistic, and the preachers could barely move because they had been fishing the day before, and they had their shirts off, and they were so burnt up. And one of those legalistic ladies said, "Well, you sitting there had your shirt off, or you wouldn't have got burnt up." Sister Dorothy, D.C. and Daniel. Remember Sister Dorothy? Not you, Sister Dorothy. You're not legalistic at all. This lady here was legalistic. She brought her yardstick and measured everybody on the way up when she sat in her front seat. And she said, "You know you should not have been out there fishing without a shirt on." And so I read this scripture and she said, "Well, I reckon I stand corrected." Well, I just thought I'd throw that in there. Y'all still looking kind of weird. And he cast himself into the sea, and the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with fish. As soon as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals, and the fish laid upon them bread. And Jesus said unto him, "Bring the fish which you have now caught." Simon Peter went up, drew the net to the land, full of great fishes, 153. And for all that were there so many, yet not the net broke. Jesus said unto him, "Come and dine." None of the disciples did ask him, "Who art thou?" Knowing that it was the Lord. Then Jesus comes and takes bread and gives them, and fish likewise. Now it's the third time Jesus showed himself to the disciples that he was risen from the dead. It's the third time that he showed himself. Think about that. Say three. And so when they had dined, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these?" One. He said unto him, "Yea, Lord, thou knowest I love thee." He said, "Feed my lambs." Then he said unto him a second time too, "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me?" He said, "Lord, yea, Lord, thou knowest I love thee." He said unto him, "Feed my sheep." Three. And he said unto him a third time, "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me?" Peter was grieved because he said that said it to him for the third time, "Lovest thou me?" And he said, "Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest I love thee." And Jesus said, "Feed my sheep." And he goes in and tells him that he's going to be crucified himself later. Now, these threes are significant on the day of Pentecost. Peter preaches, and how many people were saved? 3,000. How many times did Peter deny Jesus? This is all significant here. You see, Jesus is going to show him complete forgiveness. You blew it that night. Although you blew it, it was a one-time deal. You did three things that you said you weren't going to do that night. And so now, when I come back and there's repentance, you're going to see that I'm going to ask you three times, showing I'm covering you. And then when you go to preach, guess what's going to happen? 3,000 souls are going to be saved. So watch this now. But in the scripture we just read, we'll find it here that Peter, he's laboring under a heavy load of guilt. And even after a personal visitation from the resurrected Lord, he's still getting kind of confused. You know, because he already seen the Lord two times, and now here's the third time, and so he just says, look, I'm just going to go fishing. And so now, days later, he felt so much guilt that he felt so inadequate to even minister for the Lord. I'm not going to go out and preach that Jesus resurrected. I'm just going fishing. Wow. And so now, watch this. We're almost through. Somebody say we're almost through. How many will give me 5 minutes? Two hands. All right, then how many give me 20 minutes? Oh, here comes some hands now. 45 minutes. Okay, I'm going to count them all together. That was everybody. Okay, get ready. Now, Peter or Luke 22:31-32, he says, I'm not gonna deny you. You can believe I'm in it to win it. I am not going to deny you. I'm not gonna do what I thought you said I was gonna do, Jesus. Yes, you know all, but you don't know me like you think you do. Has anybody ever told God that? Okay, well so in verse 22, let's go into verse 59. In chapter 22, Luke 22. Verse 59, verse 54. Then they took him and led him and brought him into the high priest's house, and Peter followed afar off. That's his first problem. He's already getting away from God. And when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the hall, and Peter sat down among them. But a certain maid beheld him as he sat by the fire and earnestly looked upon him and said, this man was also with him. And he denied him, saying, woman, what in the world are you talking about? I don't know him. After a little while, another saw him and said, thou art also of him. And Peter said, man, you got it wrong. I don't know Jesus. And about the space of 1 hour, another confidently affirmed, saying, of a truth, this fellow was also with him, for he is a Galilean. And Peter said, man, I know not what thou sayest. And immediately while he spake, the rooster crowed. And the Lord turned and looked upon Jesus. That's kind of funny. We were in an Emmaus meeting yesterday, and somebody had an alarm clock set on their cell phone, and their alarm clock was the sound of a rooster crowing. And so I was sitting there doing business and talking about getting, you know, we need to do this for God, blah, 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 blah. And all of a sudden, another guy up there and says, somebody just denied Jesus. Yeah, you had to be there. Okay. And the Lord turned and looked to Peter, and Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And Peter went out and wept bitterly. What happened? First, he overestimated his strengths and he underestimated his weaknesses. How many here has got strengths? Everybody raise your hand. You raise both hands. We all got strengths. Now, how many here has got weaknesses? Raise both hands. If we're not careful, we got to understand we are in this thing to complete each other, not compete with each other, complete. Because my strength will take over where your weakness can't. Your strength will take over and cover my weakness. We're together in this thing. But see, he overestimated his strengths. I won't deny you. Everybody else will, not me. But he underestimated his weakness. And Satan actually desired everybody, but especially Peter. Why was he after Peter the most? Because Peter was the leader of the pack. And so instead of going after one by one by one, I'm just going to get him. If I can get him, I can get the rest of them. Moms, dads. Satan will come after you because if he can get you, he can get your kids. People, just remember. So why am I under such an attack? Because Satan knows if he can get us, he can get the rest of them. So now, we watch here. Satan was actually attacking God, but Satan can't attack God. It's impossible. Because God just can't be attacked. But he attacks God through us by attacking us. And so he's attacking Peter, he's attacking God through Simon, and he's attacking Simon's potential. So just think about all these things. This is some heavy stuff. This is about as heavy as it can get. And here it is. Satan used the sifting process. Jesus said, Satan desires to own you, to sift you as wheat. If I owned wheat and you were going to buy it from me in the market, it would be your job, the purchaser, it would be your job to sift it. That way, when it's over with, you can't complain to me that I sold you wheat full of chaffs. Now, how does this process go? And I'll be quick. The person that was buying it, they would put a sheet on the ground, and he would grab it handfuls at a time in this hot environment. And he, as the wind would blow, he would kind of just let it start falling out of between his fingers and falling out. The wind would blow away the shaft. The good stuff would hit the ground. And he'd go pick it up again. And the hot wind would blow it. And he would do this. The good stuff on the ground, the shaft gone away. Some of y'all in here right now going, why is it that every time I turn around, every time I think I got a handle on this thing, I feel confined. Look, I feel like I'm being punched. And then all of a sudden I feel that I'm being singled out. And then I feel the hot winds of adversity. And I feel like it's beating me to tiny little pieces. Satan wants to own you. And he's sifting you like wheat. And you're thinking, man, this isn't what I bargained for. This is not what I said yes to God. I didn't know I was going to be picked up and going to be torn little bitty pieces and going to be blown in the hot wind and singled out and pulled up and separated for trial. And what about him, God? What about him? Peter even says, what about John? And Jesus says, don't worry about John. What is it to you if he lives till I come back? You just take care of you, Peter. So now watch. Watch. Now, so he's sifting him. I'm almost through. I don't want to leave you all sifted out. So I'm going to give you a little help to get you through to the next week. Five lessons on conquering guilt. Getting rid of it, finding freedom. See that guilt, that weight's gone. Finding freedom. Watch this. This is so awesome. Yeah, you got to watch this. You got to hear this. You got to really pay close attention to this. Because if you don't, you will actually walk out of here feeling worse than you did when you came in. Some of y'all felt bad when you came in. Oh, you smiled. You even praised God and meant it. But the whole time you were raising your hands and praising God, you felt the and although you're praising God, you're saying, God, when is this going to stop? God, when am I going to feel some relief? God, when am I going to feel healthy again in my spiritual heart? Five lessons. I'm only going to go through two and the beginning of a third, but next week we're going to take them all five and we're going to break them apart. I want you to watch this. This is so awesome. I want you to pay careful attention to this. This right here is going to give somebody some relief. Number one, when you're being sifted like wheat and you failed. Sometimes we're sifted like wheat, we don't fail. Sometimes we're sifted like wheat, we do fail. There's times where we're just feeling so guilty. So when you're feeling guilty, what do you do to bring you some relief? What do you do when you're feeling, just like I said, old snotted all up and put in the nose and blown back out again? What do you do? Number one, you got to know this. Forgiveness is certain. Once you see this, the Bible said in chapter 22, verse 32, he said, I've prayed for you. He's on top of it. He hadn't even sinned yet, other than pride stepping in the way. He had not gone through with it yet, and Jesus says, I prayed for you. Wow, isn't that awesome? Revelation 12, 9 and 10. Let's look at some of these scriptures here quickly. Revelation 12, 10, it says, and verse 9 says, and the great dragon was cast out, the old serpent called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and the angels were cast with him. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, now has come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accuses them before our God day and night. You know, Satan's up there day and night telling God just how bad you are. If he's telling God, listen carefully. This may help you too. If he's telling God day and night just how bad, how slimy, how sorry we are, isn't he also telling us the same thing? Day and night. David said in some of the Psalms at night, said, my tears were my meat when I laid down my head. He had lost his appetite. Because Satan, day and night. Zechariah 3. Look at Zechariah 3, verse 1. And they're talking about rebuilding the temple. And he showed me Joshua, the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to resist him. To resist him. Wow. He's trying to do a work for God, and there is Satan doing his best to tear him all to pieces. So I want you to think about this now. We're getting close to the end. I said close. There isn't a quitter. The Bible says that forgiveness is already provided. Y'all know that? Y'all say forgiveness is already provided. Say it again. Watch this now. Here's the quitter. 2 Corinthians 5. Verse 18. Verse 17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature, a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given us the ministry of reconciliation. Not only has he reconciled us, remember this is the year of reconciliation, not only has he reconciled us to him, he's called us to help others reconcile themselves to each other and to him. So we've got a powerful ministry here. When we're singing praises unto God, there should be a reconciliation taking place. There should be people that have felt bad all week and they really hadn't connected to God. If they'll get into that praise and worship and begin to really worship God, then you know what? Then praise and worship becomes a ministry of reconciliation. If you're with somebody and they're feeling kind of bad and you put your hand on their back and say, I'm praying for you, brother. I'm praying for you, sister. I got your back. Then you're working that ministry of reconciliation. If somebody comes to you and says, you know, I'm really feeling down about this whole situation, and you begin to pray for them and to help them, then what you've done is you are part of the ministry of reconciliation. So it's really awesome. Psalm 130. Let me read this again. I got this stuff. I got Bible everywhere. Y'all say Bible everywhere. Okay, some of y'all took me for serious. Okay, ready? If thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? If God's going to keep holding over your head, then how are you going to stand? If every time we mess up and then go to God and ask forgiveness and he just keeps bringing it back up, guess what? Who's going to be able to stand? You know what? I dare to say, matter of fact, I will, let's see how much money I got in my pocket. Okay, there's a nickel. This nickel is free today to any person in here that can say they never, ever sinned. You can have it. You can walk out a rich person. This isn't that lottery, but you say, I didn't win $900 million, but I did get a nickel in church. How? Because I've never sinned. Okay, now you're a liar. Okay, that nickel weren't free. You had to lie to get it. Okay, so. But there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. I wait for the Lord, my soul doth wait, and in his word do I hope. Wow, that's awesome. It is so, so awesome. You see, in all of this, Jesus was already ahead of his failure. Everything you've ever done wrong, I want you to know that Jesus was already ahead of it. He was already ahead of it. He already had a handle on it. You did not surprise him. You may have surprised yourself. You know, I'm going to tell you something else, too. This, y'all have heard me say this before, but some of you haven't. If you write in your Bible, I want you to write this down, that you heard it this day, open the very front of your Bible and put it down there. Get ready. I hear a lot of times in this altar, pray for me. I have disappointed God. Well, according to Scripture, it's impossible to disappoint God. The way you disappoint somebody is to act different than they expect. The way you disappoint somebody is to actually do something they didn't see coming. I'm pretty sure do you think he's seen Peter's denying Jesus? And he's up there looking, and Peter's denying Jesus, and the cock crows, and Jesus says, well, I didn't see that coming. No. Look at somebody and tell them it's impossible to disappoint God. You can disappoint yourself, you can disappoint others, but you can't disappoint God because he already knows. So look, I've already prayed for you. Before you ever did it, I prayed for you. So there's that one. Romans 3, I don't want to disappoint any of y'all, because I told you to get you out here by 3, so I'm hurrying. Jesus, number 2, watch this, if you're counting slides, I've only got 7 more. And I've only got 3 more. Somebody said 3. Yeah, you already said it. Yeah, look. Number 1, forgiveness is certain. Jesus says, I've already prayed for you. Number 2, Jesus is for us, not against us. That was an awesome song that we did this morning. He's a good, good Father. He's perfect in all of his ways. Daniel didn't know I was preaching this sermon. Daniel didn't even have that on the list. Daniel sent out a list of songs, and then it goes back and says, hold on, I'm taking one of those songs out. We need to put good, good Father. Awesome. And perfect in all of his ways. He loves us. Wow, does he love us. You see, God is for us, not against us. He says, I have prayed for you, Simon. Now, here's one you should watch us now. He's the one, he told Simon, he said, I'm going to surname you Peter. Meaning, Jesus gave him the name Peter. Peter means rock. Simon means reed. So before Jesus came into his life, he was just like this. Running his mouth, and he'd just go with whatever the flow, go with the wind. Jesus comes along and steadies him and calls him a rock. Some of y'all in here, you know what I'm talking about. You feel that steadiness. And now, in the middle of all this arguing, he looks over at them and says, y'all going to deny me? And Jesus, and Peter says, I would never deny you. And he goes, Simon. He wouldn't even hush up. He had to call him. Whenever you see something repeated in the Bible, it means that it's trying to get your attention. He was trying to get Simon's attention. He went, Simon, Simon! Before the cock crows, you're going to deny you know me 3 times. Not me! I'm ready to die for you, Lord. And he started out pretty good. He cut out, he pulled out his sword. He wasn't a very good aim because I'm pretty sure he was aiming for the servant's neck, but he got his ear. Jesus heals his ear and tells him to put the sword up. And then he really goes all to pieces. So he calls him and says, Simon, Simon. In other words, you're the rock, but for this moment, the reed is taking over. Some of y'all are strong as a bear, but every now and then that reed takes over. You see, I'm just going to be real quick about this. The conflict. First, there's within the nature. The Bible says in Galatians 5:16-17, says that the flesh fights against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and it's a constant battle that's going on without prayer. You know, there's temptation out. Do you know that Jesus praying for him did not stop the temptation? Did not stop him meeting the adversary. You can pray all night long. God, you know, we pray every morning, Lord, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. But you know what? He won't lead you into evil, but Satan will set traps. But if you've prayed ahead of time, then you've got God's help along the way. God will help you. And so here is the confidence. Jesus interceded for him. It tells us he's on our side. Nothing is greater than the love of God. So now, here we go. He said, but I have prayed for you, Simon. I like this word prayed because this word prayed literally means eclipsed. Meaning, I've got between you and Satan. The only way he can get to you is from me to give him space. That ought to give some of y'all some shouting room right there. See, he's unlimited. He's already doing something about it. He's already provided a way of escape. He says, there's not a temptation come to you that's not common in a man. And with every way of temptation, every means of temptation, he will provide a way of escape that you may be able to bear up under it. Not meaning that you're going to be away from it. It might still be there, but you can bear up under it. And so here it is. Satan is limited. Always. And Jesus says, I'm on your side. Is God good to you? Number three, and I'm going to quit. I'm only going to start number three. We'll finish it up next week. Because number three is about that long. Number three, your failure does not have to be final. So you blew it. So you messed up. I've blown it so much I could open up a dynamite factory. My mouth has got me in more trouble. My wife has said more than one time in the last few months that if my mama, because you know Catholics believe in praying for the dead, especially when they're in purgatory. Linda said that if my mama was Catholic, she'd be praying for her right now. For having me. Because she says she knew. I told you, my mama had four children. She only had one. She had three normal children. And one outstanding. I didn't say who. Y'all looking at me laughing. Okay, you ready? The devil does not want your job. He doesn't want your money. He doesn't want your family. I'm going to tell you what Satan wants. He wants your faith. Because if he can get your faith, he can get the rest of it. He don't beat around the bush like we do. He doesn't go after symptoms. He goes after the main cause. And so here it is. He goes after disease. If he can get your faith, he's got you. So here we go. Our faith in God, without faith, is impossible to please God. And here is our victory that we overcome, even our faith. But Proverbs 24:6, and this is closing. That's pretty cool. Watch this. If y'all ever pay attention, sometimes there's things going on with that PowerPoint, you might not catch on to it. Watch this. Proverbs 24:16, though a man falls seven times, he rises up again. Did y'all miss that? I'll do it one more time. All right, ready? Y'all watch this. Really? I want you to watch it now. Then you'll say, wow, that was worth the whole sermon just to watch that. All right. So a righteous man falls seven times and rises up again, but the wicked shall fall into mischief. You see that? I almost fell off of this thing trying to show you all that. I'm going to leave this alone. Amen. Man with vertigo does not need to stay close to the stage. That's what Confucius said. Okay, for the just man falleth seven times. You know why God says seven times? He could have said 12, 20, 50, 100. But you know what? When he said, but the just man shall fall seven times, meaning there's going to come a time in every Christian's life, all of us, where our faith is going to fail us. Not because our faith didn't have the power to sustain us, but that we're not holding on to that faith in that moment. You know, know, sometimes I tell people, you know, they go, well, you're a preacher. And I say, I'm getting ready to lay this collar down. I told somebody one time, I said, you ain't never been whooped till you've been whipped by a preacher. And Daniel DC said, amen, brother. Of course, they never got much whipping from me. All right, hear that? Yeah, bless their hearts. All right, hear it. A just man, a righteous man, God's woman, falls seven times, meaning you didn't just slip. You didn't just hit your knees. You, seven times is the number of completion, the number of fulfillment. And so seven times means you took a long, hard, heavy fall. I mean, you went all the way down. Down, down, down. All right, the great philosopher Rocky Balboa. It's not how hard you can hit, it's how hard you can be hit and keep coming. Seven times, you were down as low as you can go. But he rises up again. And that word rises up means with help. God picks you up and he raises you up again. Meaning, your worst day. I want you to picture it in your head. Everybody close your eyes for a minute. We're getting ready to close. Y'all get ready to come play something, musicians. Your worst day. Think about your worst day. I know Jesus is, hopefully you've already asked God to forgive you. Think about your worst day. Think about your worst hurt. Think about your worst mishap. Think about your worst sin. Think about your worst failure. If you give it to God. The Bible didn't say, here's the Lamb of God who takes away certain sins of the world. It said, the sin of the world. Sin, singular. Sin, singular. You go to God with that. Matter of fact, we're going to do this right now. I know some of y'all are thinking, wow, this isn't exactly what I bargained for today. Well, okay. This is a good one then. I want you to raise your hands. Everybody. Everybody. Raise your hands. You do not have to say out loud what you're thinking. Your worst day was, or your worst time, and it could be even now. But what I want you to do is say, God, I'm sorry. That you can say. Everybody say it together. God, I'm sorry. I give it to you right now. And you said you were righteous and just. And you would forgive us for our seven-time fall. I ask you right now, Lord, to help me accept your work on the cross. Help me look past the accuser and grab a hold of the acquitter. I accept full forgiveness. And thank you, God, with your help, I will rise up again. I thank you for that, Lord. Give the Lord a hand clap. You see, there's something you got that the unrighteous don't have. You got an advocate with the Father. But the wicked, those that do it their way, they don't have that righteous Father to go to. And so instead, they carry it. We don't have to carry this guilt. We don't have to carry this guilt around anymore. Thank you, God. Though I failed seven times, we rose again. Everybody stand. I want everybody to will. First, let me ask this question. Everybody bow your head for a minute. Everybody bow your head. I just got checked. Bow your head. Is there somebody in here that would say, with every head bowed, every eye closed, I don't know Jesus. I don't know him. I don't know the acquitter. All I know is the accuser. And I need help. I need Jesus. But nobody looked around, would you put their hand up and say, I need him. I need him as my Savior. Maybe you're here today and you would say, I know him. But until today, I would not accept total forgiveness because I felt like I had disappointed him. Now I know I did not disappoint him. He already knew. And he already made a way. I just need you to help me pray. I'm talking to you right now. Nobody looked around, every eye closed, every head bowed. Would you raise that hand and say, yes, I know him, but I just needed that shot this morning and I'm ready. God, I need you today. Would you raise that hand? Nobody looking. Nobody looking. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Touch them right now, Lord. Let them know, Lord, that it's covered, it's under the blood, it's taken care of. That the accuser, it's the accuser that's coming after them because the acquitter's already done the job. Praise the Lamb of God. Now, if you got any need whatsoever, any need, if you just want to talk to God, this altar's open. I know it's 12:30. Don't feel guilty if you don't make it to McDonald's before the Baptist. Just come on up. Come on up. Come on up. Come and pray. Come and pray. Come and pray. Come on and pray.
And all that is within me, bless his holy
Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Glory to the Lamb of God. Glory to the Lamb of God. Glory to the Lamb of God. Stand up.
Oh, my soul and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. I will bless the Lord, all my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name.
Why are we going to bless him? Why?
For he has done great things. He has done great things. He has done great things. Bless his holy name.
Come on.
I will bless the Lord, my soul,
restless soul. And I will bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Bless me, His holy.
Praise the Lord. Here's your assignment. Here's your assignment. I want you to go out this week. I want you to find everybody that you know that you normally see coming to church. And I want you to go to them and say, look, we missed you. I want to see you get back in there. It's not the same without you. Can you do that? Can you call somebody and tell them it's not the same without you? And watch God do something special. Also, guys that I've talked to already about going to an Emmaus walk, we have an Emmaus walk coming up March 31st through April 3rd that weekend. We can send five guys. I've already talked to some guys. If you're feeling you can do this, I want you to pray about it. Don't just say no. Pray about it. But come on and get in there. We need you. Not only is it just for you, but after you go one time, then you become part of the Emmaus community, and you work. And it's some awesome stuff. The ladies are going to be at the last of April. Y'all can come too. You have another walk. And we're not going to have but one this year, and that's going to be March and April for the lady, for the men first and the ladies, and it's going to be all the way to the following year before it happens again. So, please, you're going to enjoy it. Talk to people that's already been there. People that's already been there, they loved it. I have not met one person that did not like it. Matter of fact, when they went, here's what they were singing when they left. This is the anti-guilt song. Y'all want to sing a little bit? Let's sing it. Anti-guilt. He taught me how. Y'all got to help me because I don't sing by myself. Y'all ain't going to help me, okay? I ain't going to feel guilty. Night and day. He taught me how to watch and pray. Right, here we go. They get to the chorus.
Oh, happy day. Oh, happy day. When Jesus washed. When my Jesus washed. When my Jesus washed. He washed my sins away.
Yeah! Anti-guilt!
Oh, happy day. Oh, happy day. Oh, happy day. When Jesus washed. When Jesus washed. When my Jesus washed. He washed my sins away. Washed my sins away. And He taught me how.
Come on, sing it.
To watch and pray. Watch and pray.
Night and day, something like that. I ain't gonna feel guilty. I lost the word. That's all right. No guilt Sunday. Oh, happy day. Oh, happy day. Come on, I'll make it better for you.
When Jesus washed. When my Jesus washed. When my Jesus washed, He washed my sins away.
And they give me away. God's awesome. Please, I'm going to give him a high five. Give him a high five. We don't have a service tonight. But Tuesday night, we're talking about hope. If you know somebody needs some hope, if you want to be able to minister hope, remember, this is the year of reconciliation. Part of reconciliation is learning how to minister hope. So, Tuesday night, come on in. We're talking about hope. It's really good. And then next Sunday, we're going to do the second part of guilt. And then we're going to do some other attitudes. Amen? Y'all looking good. Anybody tell you that today? All right. Brother Frank, will you dismiss us in prayer, please?
Things are going to work out all right. Father, now just go with us. Be with us. Strengthen us, Lord God. Guide, guard, direct. And Father, as we return back to this place to worship and praise and give thanks unto you, the glory of the Lord be shown round about. In Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you.